Welcome to Rounding Down, the Outlaw Tough Bad Person podcast. The dares to ask what is good and what is bad. I'm Jade, the Outlaw Tough Person Bad Person in question. I'm joined as usual by my co-host, someone whose car was somehow parallel parked and rear-ended into, I don't know, and severely damaged last night. It's Saifiedi.
Dr. Chid. I was hoping you could help me. I have a medical question for you.
Oh, it's a medical question. Go ahead.
Yeah. Would you say this looks more like a rash or an infection?
I can't see you because this is an audio medium, but I'm going to say it's an infection. And you should go to a doctor.
Okay.
Not me, because the Hippocratic Oath, do no harm? Well, I took the hippopotamus oath, do lots of harm, because hippos are always killing people. Yeah.
Well, I've been having trouble finding a new doctor because now that I know that there's a double doctor, I haven't been able to find anyone that meets the qualifications.
Yeah. I actually know a double doctor, a real double doctor, not a fake one like me, who's running for Congress in the state of Massachusetts.
His name Your credentials aren't real?
His name is not a double doctor. He's running for Congress. But anyway, if you're in Massachusetts and you're in his district, you should probably vote for him. He's actually a doctor of, I don't know, something, and a medical doctor at MGH. Anyway.
You're not a doctor?
Yeah, I'm a doctor. One of my uncles calls me Dr. Chid. He just has been calling me that since I was a kid. So if it's an honorary title, then yeah, I mean, that's... If it's the band, the honorary title.
I was just going to say.
I haven't thought of that band.
I was holding my breath waiting to say it.
Was their big song Bridges and Tunnels? Was that them?
I think
it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't thought of that band or mentioned them or heard them mentioned in a solid 15 years. But yeah, I think I did see them live once at that church, the ICC church in Alston.
Alston.
Yeah. Anyway. Way back in the day. That reminds me. So someone on Twitter today posted a business card of the band Chiodos or Kyodos. It was like, download our new record on your iPod. I guess that's around the same era. What a weird, stupid time for music.
Is that right around the same time that U2 made the deal with Apple where they forced the album onto everyone's phone?
No. That was like a decade after that. I think this is like the 2004 era. I don't actually, maybe that U2 thing, it was probably like 6 years later. I think that U2 thing was like two, if I had to peg it, I would say it was like 2011 or 2012. It was
the honorary title was on Doghouse.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. That's getting way too into the weeds. I doubt. Hey, if you're a listener, let's start using hashtags on the show. If you're a listener who's ever heard of the band The Honorary Title, hashtag I've heard of The Honorary Title, and I'll read that. Don't put an apostrophe in the I've, or that won't make the... I guess you can't do I've in a hashtag. But I've heard of The Honorary Title. That's a great hashtag. I'll check those later.
Not Bon Iver.
Not Bon Iver. Bon Iver?
Did you know he produced the new Taylor Swift record?
He recorded his debut record in the woods when he was depressed about a breakup in Wisconsin?
I've heard that.
Has anyone ever heard that before? That band, as soon as that shit came out, I was like, it's fine. I don't have any problem with that guy's music. He's got a pretty voice. I have no issue with Bon Iver or whatever. I don't know. I haven't listened to him since his second record.
Bon Iver.
I think that's how you're supposed to say it.
Bon
Iver. Yeah.
Bony.
Bon Iver. Yeah. I think it's French.
Anyway. Chid, you're my skinny love forever.
Thanks, buddy. You're my, I can, Holocene. I can see for miles and miles and miles. But anyway, what I can say about that, which The Who said first, by the way, in the song I Can See for Miles.
Thank God.
But what I will say about that band is, as soon as that story came out, I mean, I guess that's the thing about any band, is if you just come up with a stupid story that people will believe and you can just pitch it to like music writers, I guess, or music publications, then that's the roadmap to success. Because there was nothing super spectacular about that first Bon Iver record that like it's just like I can name 12 other records that are similar that were clearly its peer. In the same era, and none of those broke out the way that one did for whatever. I think truly because of the stupid sad sack, like, oh, I recorded this when I was sad in the woods. Like, so stupid.
Did you hear what...
Remember when Justin Timberlake put out that record, Man of the Woods?
Yeah.
I think he was trying to.
That was the follow up to Cry Me a River.
I think he was trying to get some of that Bon Iver cred, and it didn't work for Timberlake, unfortunately. Things Bony. Do and don't work. What are you drinking tonight, Cy?
Sierra Nevada's Hazy Little Thing.
You're always drinking a Sierra Nevada, I feel like. So I'm going to stop asking you that. Here's Fuck what I'm off. Drinking because it's more interesting. I'm drinking a Belvoir Fruit Farms Organic Cucumber and Mint Lemonade, bubbling with real cucumbers. It's right. from. It says non-alcoholic.
Did it record a record in the woods when it was sad about a breakup?
Sounds like it did. Product of UK. It's from the United Kingdom. Interesting.
Speaking of the United Kingdom, did you hear what Donald Trump said about the Rolling Stones?
No.
He said that they were un-American because he wouldn't let them use his their song for his campaign.
They certainly are un-American. That's one thing I always say about them. They're very un-American. Actually, I think that the House Committee for Un-American Activities should have probably investigated them for being un-American way back in the day.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, they were definitely secret un-Americans.
Given all their anti-Vietnam takes on that record we talked about.
Yeah, that record we talked about. What's the name of it? 1, 2, 3, go. I'm glad that you retain all of the information we talk about on this show.
It was called The Rolling Stones, self-titled. Yeah.
Self-titled, definitely. That's what it was called.
There's an American cake pizza on the cover with all sorts of jello mold and stuff.
Great. Yep. American cake pizza attire. That's the name of the record. American cake pizza attire.
It's weird because they're not even from America. I don't know why they would call it American cake pizza attire. I like it.
So, in fairness to you, you are an enormous dipshit, but also in fairness to you.
Wow. No, fuck off. You know what? I'm standing up for myself. I am not an enormous dipshit.
Okay, that's fine. You're not an enormous dipshit. In fairness to you, your car was destroyed by someone somehow very hard backing into it, parallel parking. Is that true?
Yeah, I live on a very small street.
And so you told me the bumper was broken, and I was just picturing the back, like someone just like drove into the back of your car, hit the edge of it and cracked the back bumper off or whatever and drove away. But no, you explained that someone backed into it like a real fucking asshole and then took off, which is great. I love that.
Yeah, I was very glad to wake up to that, and I've been dealing with the insurance company all day, and I didn't think that you could back into a car that hard to make the bumper fall off, but it's a relatively new car, so I feel like it's well constructed, but you know, it is what it is. I live on a very small street, and I never park in the street, and I had to, out of circumstance, last night and overnight, someone backed into my car, and I was just like, it would serve me right to the one time that I did it in the 2 years that I've lived here that someone would back into my car and do damage.
Your car
to
was
it.
One night away from retirement, and then it got backed into last night on the job. Yeah, that sucks, man. Sorry about that. But yeah, I don't know what to tell you. There's always good stories about cars and people's. I had a friend who did a similar thing who never parked in the street, and he parked in the street. He had a vintage Saab from the early 90s. This was in like 2010, and someone hotwired it, and but they didn't actually. They couldn't shift. It was I think they maybe didn't realize it was not an automatic transmission. So they couldn't get it into drive or whatever or into gear, and they just drove. He lived on a hill, and it just went down the hill and crashed into a pole, and then his car was totaled, which sucks shit for him. So at least that didn't happen to you, I guess.
It sucks that his car was totaled, but I think the only retribution for him would have been if that person had maybe gotten injured and couldn't get out of the car and then got arrested.
I don't think that's what happened. I think the person bailed out when they didn't know when they realized they were fucked. But
they 1,000% bailed out. But
When you drive and you back up, do you press the accelerator when you have your car in reverse? Ever?
It depends on what I'm backing out of. If I have to back up a hill, obviously I use the accelerator.
But if you're just backing out of a driveway, flat driveway.
No. Typically, yeah. I softly ride the brake when I'm backing up out of the driveway.
Okay. I literally don't think I guess let's do a role play, okay? And I don't think I've ever used the accelerator in reverse because I just don't think there's ever really a need for it. Your car already goes 5 to 7 miles an hour in reverse.
It's an aggressive move. I'd say that my uncles, when they were hot rodding and teenagers, when I was very young, they would do that to, like, you know, be macho.
Yeah,
I feel like it's an aggressive move.
It's quite an aggressive move. Let's do a quick role play here, okay? You tell me whether or not you would use your accelerator when you're in reverse. All right.
Okay. Ready? Who am I in the role play?
You're the person driving your car, and I'll act it out, okay? So I'm gonna be all the other characters.
Okay. Wow. Okay. That's impressive. All right.
Hey, I'm selling some drugs over here.
Look out for that fucking guy. He better back his fucking car out of here. I'm going to pop a fucking cap in his head.
Yeah, I'm going to shoot him too.
Would you use your accelerator in reverse?
No.
Ooh, I'm sorry. You're wrong. That is a situation where you should use your
I don't think that I'm wrong because I feel like I would mess up because I'd be so nervous in front of them that I would need to do the same way that I normally back.
Let's do another one. Let's do another one. All right. Okay. All right. I'll do all the characters. You tell me whether or not you use your accelerator in reverse. All
right.
Okay. Hey, size wife, I'm a real attractive man here to do some work on the house, and I was just wondering if you would like to show me what's wrong in this bathroom.
What work are you doing on my
house? Would you use your accelerator to back up?
Size wife, get out of the car. Yes, I would.
Your wife was really confused by the work that was being done.
Yeah,
she's very faithful to you, and you should be thankful for that. Honestly,
I am.
She's
lady. Thank you for making my wife faithful to me. In this
She was like, "What are you talking about, you weirdo?" All right, last one.
All right,
you, again, tell me if you use the accelerator to back up in this situation.
Okay. Yeah,
I'm the devil, and I'm here to eat your soul. Unless you back up your car.
Would you use your accelerator to back up?
That was not a sound, Chid.
Would you use your accelerator to back up?
Yes.
Okay, you got that one right. Okay, you 2 out of 3 ain't bad, as Meatloaf once said.
All right. You did say that.
Yeah, okay. Well, today we had a really fun episode. Let's get our guest out here because he's been.
I was going to say, do you think he's still here after all that?
Well, I told him we'd have him for an hour. So we got 44 minutes with him, and he's got a tight out because he maybe told his brother that he was going to leave after a half hour, no matter what happened on this show. Friends, lovers, listeners, this week's guest, today's guest is the author of the book, How to Make 600 Bucks. I don't remember the exact title of it, but I did read it, and it's a very good book. He's also...
Talk about not retaining information, asshole.
Okay.
I can't even remember the name of the book that our guest wrote.
Hang on, let me pull up his book title. He's not going to tell me it when he comes on. I haven't said his name yet. How to write a book and make 600 bucks? Is that it? I think it's how to write a book and make 600 bucks. Yeah, how to write a book and make at least $600. He's a funny man and author and writer and a great actor, as I saw in an audition that he did for an upcoming Sideways Napa Boys Quibi series. It's Rocco Tenaglia.
Hello.
Rocco, how are you doing today?
Hello, gentlemen. The book's actually called The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon by Stephen King.
That's Tom Gordon, the former pitcher?
Yes. Yeah, he wrote The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon by Stephen King. That makes sense because that book seemed so, even for Stephen King, it seemed like he didn't put any effort into it. So obviously it could have been written by him. Yeah,
because I wrote it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Tom Gordon did pitch for the Red Sox, and Stephen King is a big Red Sox fan.
Yeah, that's like what the book's about.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense.
Sai, I think...
And I wrote it.
Can we tell Sai some more Stephen King, either plot synopses or settings for his books?
Yeah, do you know It?
Who?
Do you know the book It?
I only know It 2, Electric Boogaloo. I saw that one.
You saw that one? It's based on a book called It. It's a horror book. It's a horror book. It's a horror book.
I don't really read that much, so this is helpful for me. Thank you.
It's a book that will scare you silly, Sai. Also, Stephen King wrote a book called Carrie.
And I saw that movie.
Okay. He also wrote a book called Tommyknockers.
Yeah. Mm,
yeah.
That's about a guy named Tommy who loves women with large breasts.
Ooh.
As far as I know, I never read that one.
Are there pictures in the book?
Most of his books have pretty ornate covers.
Yeah, they got at least one on the front usually.
Yeah.
What about did Stephen King write Christine? Did he do that one?
He did.
The one about the car, the killer car.
Yeah,
he sure did.
I saw the new version of Pet Sematary. Have either of you seen that yet? The remake.
I actually did, and I heard. Well, I'll let you say what you thought.
It was fine, but that's usually my opinion of everything, so I don't really have a fence sitter. But I thought it was fine. I still like the original more. I thought the acting was just as bad as the original, though. So I thought they were like, oh, yeah, we really want to hold true to the original one, so we're going to get bad actors for this one, too. So that worked out well.
Hmm. Did your favorite band, Pet Sematary, do any of the songs for the soundtrack for the remake?
That is certainly not my favorite band, but I do like the Ramon song Pet Sematary that was in both of them.
Yeah, okay, well, there you go. Rocco, you're here today to talk about your favorite movie, or what I've been told is your favorite movie, or one of your favorite movies. I don't know if I have the exact specifics on that. The 1996 film Happy Gilmore.
Tell us. Yeah, that's my favorite movie.
Okay. When did you fall in love with this great film?
Ooh, well, when I really liked it was the first time I saw it. So I was probably 6 or 7.
Okay.
I had the VHS and stuff. Mm-hmm. But when I fell in love with it is when my brothers and I, shared a room. We all shared a room. There's 4 of us. And we had like the whole, it was a kind of a weird house where the whole upstairs was one room. So it was like probably like, if you imagine like most people in the suburbs is like childhood bedroom, it was probably like 2.5 of those.
Okay.
And all 4 of us shared that. There was like a set of bunk beds and then there was like 2 other beds. And it was a solid room. It was, I mean, you know, I grew out of it. But when we were all kids, it was cool. Anyway, we had one of those little TVs that had like a built-in VCR. And at a certain point, it became a pain in the ass to like get the tapes out. It would take a bunch of tries to like get it to actually come out. Okay. So we would just like pick one movie and watch it a lot. And then at one point we decided that we were just going to watch Happy Gilmore for an entire school year.
Did you stick with it for the whole school year?
Yeah. Oh, and wow. And also never got tired of it.
I mean, it sounds like based on that, I'm going to guess that Cy and I are probably 4 to 6 years older than you, but in the same age range generally.
Yeah,
Happy Gilmore came out when I was at the end of elementary school, but going into like junior high.
So you were like literally the perfect age for it.
Yeah, exactly. And it was that was a movie where like as soon as it was on VHS, I think I probably got a VHS player in my bedroom when I was in 8th grade. And I got it on VHS similar to you and would watch it, semi-constantly. Like I had Billy Madison as well, but I think Happy Gilmore is the more rewatchable of the two. I don't know if it's just, I think it moves better, for whatever reason, but anyway, Billy Madison.
I think the rest of the acting in Happy Gilmore was better than the supporting cast in Billy Madison. I think that the acting in Billy Madison was really bad.
Yeah, maybe that's true. There's just Billy Madison has a lot of funny stuff too, but I think Billy Madison relies more on the like it's random thing than Happy Gilmore does, which I don't know. But Happy Gilmore, great, a lot of fun. So that movie came out in 1996. It would cost about $12 million to make. It made $47 million ish at the box office. And then there was an era in the late 90s when people were collecting VHS tapes. I remember because I had a substantial VHS collection because they were at that point pretty cheap to buy. Like they were, you could get VHS tapes for like $6 to $8 on sale and stuff new. So it was like people ended up with like sizable VHS like comedy collections. So I would watch Stripes. I would watch Happy Gilmore. I would watch Billy Madison. I'd watch Tommy Boy. And so for me, that's kind of my issue with it. I think probably was one of my favorites. One of the things that I think I've seen it probably more times than any other. I don't know if I've seen it more. Maybe I've seen Tommy Boy more, but it's that and Tommy Boy are probably the two movies that I've seen the two comedies I've seen the most times, I would say. Cy, what's your history with Happy Gilmore?
It was one of those movies that someone taped for me, so I had a copy of it.
Hell yeah.
I watched it quite a bit. Right around the same time, I got two of my favorite movies that remain two of my favorite movies on VHS, so I don't think I watched it as much as those other two. Those other two happened to be Dazed and Confused and Hackers. Those are big favorites of mine, and I watched those a lot. More than Happy Gilmore, for sure. But I liked Happy Gilmore. I liked that he was into hockey. I'm a hockey guy. I like that he wears a Bruins jersey in the movie.
Yeah, he's a New Hampshire guy.
Yeah,
I mean, not in the movie necessarily, but in real
life. He's a New Hampshire guy in Mr. Deeds, I think, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing funny about Sandler.
Fieldville, Iowa, or something.
Yeah. It's funny that he's like from New Hampshire in real life, and I feel like I didn't know that when I was growing up in Rhode Island, literally two states away. I had no concept that he was from New England. I don't know why I didn't know that,
I thought he was a New York guy.
Yeah, I guess that's it. Like, he seemed like more of a New York guy because of SNL and everything. But yeah, it's wild. So yeah, he wears the Bruins jersey in the movie. It's a very fun. I'm just gonna assume that we're not gonna do a plot synopsis because I'm assuming anyone who's listening to this show has probably seen Happy Gilmore.
He's got a dope Bruins hat too that my brother and I cannot find ever. We check all the time.
I have quite a few.
I have a Bruins hat that's close, but it isn't the same one. It makes me very upset.
Are you a Bruins fan or just a Happy Gilmore super fan?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. That's
the Bruins dedication. Have a dope logo though. Like, I've always liked the Bruins logo. Because of Smash Brothers, there's like a thing in Smash Brothers that you throw, and it looks like the Bruins logo.
Really?
Yeah, it's like this little pad, and if you hit it, you go like doink. It's like a pinball thing.
Yeah, I think
it looks like the Bruins logo, I swear to God.
So you have just three siblings and they're all boys. So you're from a family of four boys.
Yes. That's
fucking wild. I gotta say, I have two kids and I have one son who's my oldest, and I can't even like truly, I don't know if we'll have another kid or if we'll adopt another kid or whatever, but in the back of my mind, are like, I don't know that I can't imagine having another 3.5-year-old boy in my life
in
the future.
We're all pretty close together too. I think it was, I don't think she really settled into it until the youngest one, my youngest brother, was like maybe 10.
Yeah. That
then it was
right.
Like, okay, this is great. Now it's like it's all good.
I mean, I remember being a little boy and feeling like, you know, just overwhelmed by boredom and wanted to do all the things I wasn't actually allowed to do and all that. And when you compound that with a pack of young boys, I can't imagine all of the shenanigans that you all must have gotten into.
See, I mean, at least you had a sibling, Chid, and I'm not trying to make you feel bad that I'm an only child, but I don't know any of what
you're
talking about.
Stop trying to make me
feelings.
Feel fucking bad, Cy. Every time I talk about people having siblings, you always try to make me feel bad, and I don't like it.
Well, maybe you should stop having siblings.
I don't want to stop having a sibling. I have an older sister who hated me when we were kids, but I think that's all the charm of being.
Do you think she likes you now?
I think she likes me okay now. I don't think she like loves me, but I think she likes me okay. Like, I think that it's fine. Like, it's good. It's good enough.
You don't avoid each other on holidays or anything?
No. I'm not singing to her the Get Up Kids song Holiday. I'm not saying lucky if we're speaking on holidays.
Or the Pixie song Holiday.
Or the Pixie song Holiday. Or the Weezer song Holiday.
Or what about the Green Day song Holiday.
Or the
what about the Madonna song Holiday?
There we go. I got there. I used to. What's so sad to me is my voice. I used to have such great.
I used to hit all those Madonna notes
like that before, and now my voice. I have to like crack into falsetto, which sucks. I don't like it. It used to be so much easier.
Chid, to quote your favorite. Sorry to interrupt you there, Rocco. Chid, to quote your favorite Blink-182 guy, Mark Hoppus. I guess this is growing up.
Well, to quote your favorite Blink-182 guy, Tom DeLonge,
the truth is out there.
I thought you were going to say spiders.
Spiders. Casting whips from all the spiders.
I was trying to pull a quote from that song where he's spying on the girl, but I don't think I know all those lyrics from the top, from the back of my head. The one from Dude Ranch, where it's creepy as hell. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, he says, her brother showers twice a week. He kicks my ass, so what's that fucking white imprint?
Hey, that's what I sound like when I sing that song.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's, there we go. It's a real treat, every Blink-182 song, just thinking about them. It just makes me really feel it. So Happy Gilmore's full of great music. Speaking of music, there's a lot of,
classic rock.
Yeah. Classic rock, because I think that's like very much in Sandler's wheelhouse. Between and Billy Madison, like, it's very, you know, you get the Stroke famously in Billy Madison when he pulls up in his car.
Billy Squire. Oh, yeah, so
and there's some great moments with classic rock. And there's
the Styx jams.
Yeah. It's full of really interesting music, and I think that like there's stuff in this, in especially in Happy Gilmore, because there's like interstitial music that like shows up kind of a lot in the movie. And there's stuff that like I before, you know, I was 13 or whatever, that I really didn't know. Like it ends with that song, Magic. Who is that song by?
That song is by Pilot.
Yeah. Is that true?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that song, like, I didn't know before this movie. And then it was like, you know how the thing that happens in pop culture where something ends up in a movie and then all of a sudden it gets used in commercials and shit like that after it's in a movie or whatever?
Like, I feel like that Blink 182 song in the BMW commercial now.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what movie that was in, but that sort of thing kind of happens, I feel like, a lot. And I like that song all of a sudden was popping up everywhere, I feel like, after this movie for whatever reason. But great end credit song.
I thought the end credits song was What Is Life by George Harrison.
Yeah, you're right. That's in the end.
And Magic is the first pro open that he goes to, I think.
Thank you. That's right. Rocco, your encyclopedic knowledge of which songs appear when. But you are absolutely right about that. Sorry. Yeah. No. I'm glad you're right. But yeah, George Harrison too. That's like, I think that he's someone who I weirdly, in spite of growing up being a Beatles fan as a kid, because there was no Spotify or streaming music on the internet, and my parents didn't have All Things Must Pass on vinyl, and I didn't have it on CD. I did like never heard that record, and then it was probably like 3 or 5 years ago that I was like, I should listen to this record. So I put it on, and I was like, this is fucking great.
Exact same experience.
That like, George Harrison song isn't on the official soundtrack.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
It's in the movie.
I wonder if that must have been like a royalties thing, because this was not a high budget movie.
That happens a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, George Harrison, yeah, that record, All Things Must Pass, is fucking incredible. It's like, it's truly wild how good that
record
is.
Who's George Harrison?
Okay, thank you.
Was he in the Beatles?
He was. He played the guitar.
Was he in the Beatles or was he in the shitty Beatles?
Hang on, like John Lennon says on Anthology, or I think Paul says it on Anthology 1, but John also said this similar thing. He's like, me and Paul got together, then George joined, and Ringo joined, or whatever. Some stupid bullshit that they always say. I watched that Beatles documentary that Ron Howard did about them touring that was on Hulu this past Saturday night, because I was like, everyone's asleep. I'll crank out this 80-minute documentary. And it has like live footage of them performing, which is kind of neat. The thing about the Beatles is, like, even if you're a Beatles fan, I don't know why anything keeps being made about them. There's like nothing new to uncover. I feel like everything has been exhaustively covered already. And whenever you're watching anything like that, you're just like, okay, when are they going to get to John Lennon saying the Beatles are bigger than Jesus? Oh, here we go. Minute 73. When are they going to get to the, like, it's such a, everything is so paint by numbers. And I feel like Ron Howard made that in 12 minutes. Like truly, there are like, I think there are three interviews that are not, archival footage in that. Like he interviewed Ringo, he interviewed Paul, and he interviewed like a music historian. I think those are the only three non-archival interviews in the documentary. So it's like, it's just like a fucking team of editors who put that together. Anyway, I wish I could be Ron Howard and just make money putting shit like that together. That's like my F quality work.
I just had to wait that whole time because I didn't want to cut you off to make a terrible confession.
Please.
What Is Life plays at the end of I Think Big Daddy. And I'm pretty sure that Magic by Pilot might play again at the end of Happy Gilmore, which means that I corrected you with the wrong information, which is one of the more embarrassing podcast blunders that I can think of.
Don't worry. I've outdone you just in the first 5 minutes of this podcast. We're all good.
I will say that the episode I listened to earlier to make sure that I wasn't going to come in here and do what I just did, make a complete fool of myself, contained a part where Chid said that the singer of a band played vocals and that the drummer drummed.
The drummer drummed and the singer played vocals. That's pretty basic. So if I was talking about the Beatles, I would say Ringo drummed, Paul McCartney played vocals and bass, John Lennon played vocals and guitar, and George Harrison played guitar and vocals.
Rocco, if you listen back a little further, you'll notice that Chid pronounces coleslaw as coleslaw.
How dare you?
But he can pass that off as like one of those like the irony guy purposely pronouncing something wrong.
Yeah, that was an irony guy thing. I said coleslaw, I was being an irony guy.
Everyone knows rock and roll.
I say rock and roll. I say
12 o'clock.
12 o'clock.
I just made that one up.
That's great. 12 o'clock. I say opposed to when I'm supposed to say supposed to. I say opposed to. I say a lot of stuff.
Get over if you ask somebody what time it was, they were like, oh, it's about 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
Just thinking that their whole life and never ever being corrected.
I think that's a good bit, and you should wait. I mean, I'm going to start doing that bit, but I'm going to wait until I'm like 55 to start doing it. Like, I want to make sure less hair or have my hair's like completely white before I start doing that bit, because I really want to – I want people to have the full experience of hearing someone say 3 of clock. It's 3:30 of clock. It's even weirder if you add a time, like minutes after it.
Well, you're really old, so you just keep saying what until it actually is the exact time.
What? Forget what? It, man. I'll ask someone else.
It's 4 o'clock.
There was a period where I – Rocco, do you wear watches?
I did until about – 4 months ago.
What made you stop? Is it COVID?
COVID.
Like, yeah, time doesn't matter?
Time stopped and it doesn't matter anymore?
Truly does not matter. I do not give a fuck what time it is, and that is why I had to ask you to remind me twice.
I really appreciate you saying, like, here's the thing. I can tell that you're a Midwesterner and a Midwesterner at heart, because most people would be like, yeah, sure, I'll be there, whatever. And then basically like no show, or not tell me to remind them to be like, yes, I will be there, but you have to remind me multiple times. Rocco was like, I'll be there. I don't know what day is what. I don't know what the fuck's going on anymore. So if you just send me two reminders, then I will definitely be there.
My heart's in the right place, but I'm going to forget.
Yeah. And I really respect and appreciate that. It's a very sensible thing to ask of someone, and a very you're not putting on airs, but like, it's the kind of thing where in the wrong hand seems like a very pretentious request. But I knew what you meant was, you were like, sensibly, I don't want to no show on you. I'm happy to be on the podcast. So if you could please just remind me twice throughout the day. And I was problem. Yeah. And
it's not even like no show. It's like, I know that I'm going to look at the clock and it's going to be like 9:06 and I'm going to be like, fuck. Because it always happens to me.
One of the couple pods that Cy and I have been on, when we were on Burn After Noticing, I very near, like, I think Shaky sent me a DM like 15 minutes before we were supposed to start recording, because I completely it was like an hour before, and I completely forgot, and I had not yet watched the episode of Burn Notice that I was supposed to watch. So I got that one in under the wire.
You got the 1.5 for the last like 5 minutes. You're like, All right, keep talking.
On that show, what would you really miss? Let's be honest. But yeah.
I got so lucky when I was on that show.
How so?
The episode was like really good, and I was like, damn, I gotta fucking watch the show. It's awesome. Yeah. And then I, like, the episode started, they were both just like, oh my god, like, It was the only good episode. It was like, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not a, it, the one that Cy and I watched was like particularly like paint by numbers and had the vibe of just like a softcore porn, essentially.
Yeah, it was, it was very horny.
Yeah. That's it, awesome. Like, okay. It had the vibe and like camera work of a softcore porn. So it really, in that respect, like it brought me back to being around the same age as I was when I grew to love Happy Gilmore. So Happy Gilmore, of course, has Carl Weathers in it. Carl Weathers is great. I've long been a Carl Weathers fan. One of the things that in college I went through a phase where I really loved the Carl Weathers action movie, Action Jackson, which is great. If you haven't seen that, you should check that out.
I will check it out.
And he plays I think it's in Detroit, but he's like a Detroit cop, and he does a bunch of crazy shit. And like, there's a scene where he gets captured and by kidnappers at the end of the movie, and they like take off his shirt and chain him up, and he is like, but they also grease him down because he's like all covered in grease because it's an 80s action movie. Anyway, great movie.
This is starting to sound like softcore porn.
Carl Weathers had quite the physique, we'll just say, in the 1980s. But I think it was like hot off of the Rocky movies. It was probably like after Rocky II, and they were like, Carl Weathers can be a star in his own right, and that movie rules. But yeah, my wife got me a vintage, who's then my girlfriend, when I was in college, got me a vintage Action Jackson poster that hung in my dorm room and then my childhood bedroom until I was evicted from my parents' house for forever upon graduating college. Carl Weathers is great as Chubbs Peterson in this movie. Julie Bowen, who some people know from, I guess she was in Modern Family. I've never seen that show in my life. But she is the
Al Bundy's in that show.
Yeah, he is. Al Bundy is in that show. that's the one thing. Kevin Nealon is in it. And
Christopher McDonald.
Yeah, and Ben Stiller's in the movie as well, and he has a great turn. Apparently, he's uncredited, which is hysterical. But he plays the abusive nursing home guy.
Ben Stiller's uncredited in that movie.
Probably like did it for scale or something. Like that.
He was like one of my favorite parts of the movie. Or was you will unpaid. Go to sleep, or I will put you to sleep.
Oh, he's definitely the funniest part of the movie.
Yeah, he's great. He's really. I mean, there's so much in the movie that's really fun, and I think also Christopher McDonald, who plays Shooter McGavin, is fucking perfect in this movie. He's so good. Yeah. And it's the kind of like acting job where like that role is such a stupid and like it's like such a, you know, like it's a template evil villain role. And that's the kind of role where I think some actors would just be like, oh, I can work it 12% and get this, you know, just like completely mail it in. But he clearly was like super into it and had a lot of fun with it. And it's so good.
He is a perfect villain. He's perfect. Yeah,
I have no complaints about him. Like, I think that he, it's funny because I do think that he makes the movie in a lot of respects. Like, if he wasn't so good in that role, I think it would be kind of like, whatever. But he's so good in it. He's so hateable. It's really a lot
right.
of fun.
Right. He's so fun to hate that, like, combined with, like, just how well the plot moves, it's just like, it makes it such a, it's the perfect movie because sports movies already have, I feel like sports movies are the formula is such that everybody sort of it's underdog triumphing, and it's like this sort of movie that everybody's going to like. Like, it's very hard to fuck up a sports movie. Like, the low end is still like, okay, those are pretty good. Like, even the ones you don't like, they still like trick you into feeling something. And so it's a sports movie, and then it's also like a tight 90-minute comedy, which is like the perfect type of movie to watch when you just want to like turn your brain off and watch something. And then it's got him as the perfect villain. It's unfair to other movies. Truly.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think it puts all of those things together so well. Here's a factoid about Christopher McDonald is he is apparently a prominent Buffalo Bills fan.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was born in New York City, but I don't know if he maybe grew up more upstate New York or, you know, more northern New York. But he's a prominent Buffalo Bills fan, which is, I guess he knows how to play a loser in that case. zing to our Bills fan listeners. But yeah, he's great. I mean, if you look at his filmography, he's been in a fuck ton of, like, he's a guy who's in, like, basically three movies a year, or like three to five movies a year.
Just an awesome character actor. Like, he always fucking brings it. Like, even I've seen some shitty movies with him and he's good. And then I've seen, like, you know, Requiem for a Dream or whatever, and he's obviously great in that.
Yeah, yeah. He's in Grease 2 as Goose McKenzie. That was his second feature film. And I gotta say, Grease 2, spectacular movie, one of the best. So he really brings it over the top in that. He's also in a movie called Chattanooga Choo Choo in 1984, which I've never heard of, and I now feel the need to watch. It's called Alex O'Donnell. It stars Barbara Eden, Chattanooga Choo Choo. I think we got to have you back on and I'll watch this together. It's a 1984 American comedy film starring Barbara Eden, George Kennedy, Melissa Sue Anderson, and Joe Namath, directed by Bruce Bilson. Damn, Joe Namath is in it.
Oh, wow.
This is, and it was a $4.5 million budget movie, 102 minutes. So you know that they could have cut at least 12 minutes out of it. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like a real fucking treat.
Not even in the top six actors listed.
No. He comes after Bridget Hanley, and then it's Christopher McDonald.
That's the only thing making me like consider not watching this. Is like how much Chris is there, you know?
I mean, if there's a lot of Joe Namath acting, I don't know how you could go wrong. He plays Newt Newton, coach of Burt's football team.
Jeez,
oh, that's great. Can't wait to watch that. Chattanooga Choo Choo. Apparently that's on the docket in the future. So other than Christopher McDonald, what's your favorite like in this movie? I think you already said you really enjoy Ben Stiller. Is that your favorite like sequence in the movie, is when the nursing home with the Nana and Ben Stiller?
Favorite sequence? Yeah, my favorite part that makes me laugh every single... It makes me laugh right now. I've seen this movie hundreds of times, and it's making me laugh right now, is when you've seen him be evil already. Like, the him being evil is already, like, the normal of the movie. And then Happy comes back to see his grandma, and he's like... and Ben Stiller just kisses his ass, and he's like, oh, and might I say that's a tremendous-looking trophy you have? And he's just like... buttering him up. That is by far my favorite part of the movie, because Ben Stiller is so funny at that. Like, that is such a funny, because his eyes are like all wide, like he's having such a hard time being nice. It's a great character.
I think there's something about Ben Stiller's character in this too that makes me I don't know. There's something where I never trust anyone who compliments me on anything. That's kind of the way I operate in life. So whenever anyone's like, hey, you did a good job with that, I'm like, okay, I don't know. What do they want from me? I think that Ben Stiller, characters like this really set me up to be cynical about any sort of flattery from anyone. So I guess thanks to Ben Stiller for that. I'm sure that served me very well in my life.
That character has kind of like a trilogy of... this movie, Heavyweights and Dodgeball, it's all sort of like the same variation of that Ben Stiller character, and all three are so funny.
Yeah, he's great in Heavyweights is a funny movie, because that was one that I feel like was on cable a lot in the early 90s.
It was on Disney Channel a ton.
Yeah, and then kind of just completely disappeared, but I remember watching that a lot as a kid, and yeah, he's very funny in that.
That was the first movie I ever pirated, because I missed it so much. Because you were right, it like fell off the face. Like, it was on Disney Channel all the time, and then they got like a lot of original programming, and they dropped some of those older movies.
That change happened, I think, because I think that was a late 90s, early 2000s thing, probably early 2000s, when all of a sudden, because it was not just the Disney Channel, but it was like VH1 and MTV and all those networks, like, went from basically just constantly airing old movies and showing the same, you know, the same catalog of like 60 things all the time to having original programming or whatever, other horse shit. And that kind of got a lot of things that were like cable staples, out of there. Other than
that's
TNT.
Yeah. Cause that happened to Comedy Central too.
Yeah. Like TNT, I think is the one network that still basically is like, yep, we show these 84 movies that are edited for TNT. And that's all we show is these 84 plus some of our original programming. But, you know, like, yeah, like if you're like, yep, I want to see Field of Dreams on cable. It's like, well, is it July? Like, you could probably go through like a checklist. You're like, is it July? Yes. Okay. is it a Tuesday night? Yes. Is it 9 p.m.? Yes. Field of Dreams will be on TNT.
Or Bull Durham.
Right. Yeah. Like, exactly.
Or that was like USA, maybe. That was.
Yeah. Like, they have, there's a limited subset of those types of movies. But yeah, like being a kid in the 90s, there was just endless cycling of the same movies always everywhere on like all sorts of networks. And also like classic TV. That's the thing that I keep explaining. I mean, I'm going to sound like such an old ass man, but the part of being a kid in the 90s and watching TV, like watching cable in the 90s when there were like 60 channels, is you were very much aware of like pop culture from 10 to 30 to sometimes 50 years before you were born.
Yeah.
Because like I Love Lucy, the Dick Van Dyke Show, Mr. Ed, all sorts of dumb, like some shows that are good and some shows that suck shit, Flipper, Lassie, like all that shit was on TV all the fucking time when I was a kid, like in the 80s and 90s, all the time.
Yeah.
So I had a very like firm awareness of like what my parents' generation grew up watching on TV. Like that's not exhaustive of everything, obviously, that was on in the mid and late 60s and early 70s and everything. But you get like a pretty firm grasp of like the greatest hits from every decade. And that's completely, unless you're seeking that out now in the streaming era, that's like completely gone. And I think that, not that everyone's worse for the wear for that, but, I don't know. It is funny when, like, even talking to people who are, like, you're kind of all in the same age range, but people who are, like, 10 years younger than me have none of the same, like, I'm like, oh, they have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about because,
yeah.
Like, it's even, like things like Saved by the Bell, for example, which, like, who gives a shit about Saved by the Bell at this point? It's been talked to death, but that show was on TV all the time. Like, you would watch that any hour of any day, for, like, classic Simpsons. Same thing for Seinfeld at a certain point. Like all of those things were just on TV all the time, and now they're not. So there's lots of people who have no, and like Cheers was like that. There's lots of people who have no awareness of any of those things, which is kind of funny to think about.
This is kind of blowing my mind. Yeah. It's like television is like an accidental cultural archive. And now you have them like sort of stumbling upon The Office. Like when that generation finds something, it becomes the number one thing in the world. So like the idea of, like it's like human beings like long for that. They want to be in touch with their like parents and their parents' parents, like pop culture, I think. Cuz like the way people are consuming Friends and The Office is I think that's something. I mean that's like us watching Fresh Prince or Cosby Show or something maybe, yeah. Maybe like one generation before that even.
No, yeah, I think you're right with the Cosby Show. I think that
Cosby probably Show's the, probably
that's
right
probably
on.
The equivalent. Yes, Fresh Prince was very much on the air. I was watching that every week when that was on.
Okay,
when
yeah,
I was
okay,
a kid.
Okay.
You're right. Like I think that's true, and it's funny how that happened with The Office, especially because that was the thing where that show was a show that I was very into when I was. I mean, that show started when I was a junior, maybe in college, and it was like the rare show my senior year of college where it was like the only show that like a bunch of my friends would get together and watch because it was pretty funny, like the Steve Carell era, season two or three, or season two probably. There was stuff that was like very funny in it for it being a network show, and like no one really watched TV, or none of my friends really did. But we really enjoyed that show, and then I graduated and went right into the corporate world, and so it was like a pretty natural fit. And everyone in the corporate world also loved that show at the time because it was like the biggest show on comedy, like the biggest semi alternative show that was not a CBS show, I guess is how I put it.
Right.
But yeah, that wasn't that long ago, and so it seems mind blowing that like you know 3 years ago the like Zoomers found that show and were like, look at this old archive show. And I'm like, that show is not that old. I'm baffled by this, but. It makes sense too. I've always said, and this is a million-dollar idea, if not more, that a good streaming network will figure out how to do this. And Pluto TV does this, or if it's still even called that, I don't even know anymore. But I've always thought that like Netflix, it would do them well to have like the equivalent of being able to flip through channels, where it would just be artifice. Obviously, it couldn't be real because they're not broadcasting anything. But like if they could, for example, they had a channel that was just like action and it just, you know, when you went to it, it went to 42 minutes into a random action movie from, you know what I mean? Like, if you could just flip through channels, or you could, like, comedy TV, and you could flip through channels on Netflix, so you could just, like, randomly land on stuff the way you would on normal TV. I feel like people would really like that if that existed.
Yeah, I really wonder. That makes so much sense to me.
Because like it's option. So hard sometimes to find something. Like, people have that, like, the choice paralysis or whatever with Netflix, but the library is so big there, and you really don't know, like, what... It's hard to separate the wheat from the chaff with a lot of their shit, because you're like, this is an original show. I don't know if it's going to be good or if it's going to be bad or whatever. I don't want to, like, start it and then stop. Like, there's all this shit. And I feel like if you just flip into, like, 12 minutes into, like, The Floor is Lava or whatever horse shit and be like, do I actually like this or is this dumb as hell? Like, that would be a big thing, I think, that people would enjoy.
There's a couple series that I've watched over and over again, and I read an article recently that was talking about how you can tell that someone's depressed if they watch a show over and over again because they find comfort in knowing the outcome of something, and I thought that was kind of interesting.
That is interesting.
What you're saying is Rocco was severely depressed the year of
elementary school, when he watched
Happy Gilmore routinely.
You know, I was about to say, though, that makes total sense because that is like when... I am lucky enough to not suffer from that, but, like, there are, you know, days that I, you know, people have bad days. I will watch that movie and feel better. So it makes total sense to me. Like, I definitely get that impulse.
Yeah, that I agree with. I mean, that makes sense. That's a thing that I certainly did as a depressed kid with The Simpsons quite a bit, where I would just very much look forward to the back to, like, The Simpsons were on from 6:30 to 7:30 every night on my local Fox affiliate. So there's like an hour of Simpsons that was like my favorite hour of the night every night. I don't know. It was so good. That was when there were only 7, 8, 9 seasons or whatever.
Looking forward to something every night was very fucking cool. Like, that was like a cool thing. Like, obviously it also, like, there's so much that goes into, like, the nostalgia of that, but whether it be, you know, not having any real responsibilities or other things tied to childhood, but, like, the idea of every night knowing sort of what you're going to do based around TV is, like, sounds kind of pathetic now, but, like, at the time...
No, that sounds great. It's called routine. It's
so great, right? It's oh my God, like, Cartoon Fridays was, like, the best, but, like, every other day there's, like, you know, you got something at 8, you got something at 10:30 or whatever it is, like, you know what day you're going to watch what. It's, like, kind of cool.
Every night there's 2 episodes of Bob's Burgers on the Cartoon Network, and that's usually what I watch before I go to bed. Mm. So, like, I still have that stability.
I'd like that too. I didn't put this together, Rock, until you said that, but that was kind of a thing. So when my freshman year of college, I had one, first semester, I had like one buddy who I was close to who loved Futurama, and that was a show that I didn't really give much of a second glance when it was originally on. And this was like basically during the, this is like right after the 4th season ended when it had been canceled essentially. And Cartoon Network had it, they would have it on, they'd show, I think it was an hour of it every night on Adult Swim. And so I would watch that, like I'd go to his dorm or he'd come to my dorm, we'd watch like an hour of Futurama every night together, this guy Dan. And it was a lot of fun, and that's how I got into that show. But you're right. Like, I think that routine there's something comforting about that for sure. I remember being like just falling in love with late night talk shows when I was probably 10, 11, 12, 13, I mean, because I had an older sister. So she was a teen already when I was 12, but or 11. But we would watch Jay Leno and then O'Brien. And then sometimes we watch Letterman and then Conan O'Brien. But we'd always watch Conan O'Brien. And that was like during the summer, like that we just did every fucking night. We'd be up till 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning watching, Late Night with Conan O'Brien and then the Carson Daly show that was on after him, which
only got canceled recently.
Yeah.
That was on for a long ass time. Yeah.
It was on for like, real? It was on for like almost 20 years, which is wild, or 18 years or something. That was just our nightly routine. Like, we did that every night. And regardless of, like, I've watched so much late night TV in my life now. I don't know. I can't imagine. Like, now as a grown-up, I'm, like, most nights I'm asleep before, you know, now I have young kids. So I guess that makes me an outlier there. But I'm asleep, by 10:30 most nights. And secondly, Even when before I had kids, like I just would, even if I was up and like doing stuff, I would not ever be like, oh, let me put on like, you know, let's put on Jimmy Fallon or Jimmy Kimmel or whatever. That just like wouldn't be my thing that I would choose to do for any reason.
Have you said how old your oldest kid is?
He's like 3 and a half.
Okay, so never mind. I was going to say, I'm wondering if, do you think, because you kind of blew my mind with the channel flipping thing. Do you think that the kids who didn't grow up with that lack of choice, do you think they have the same choice paralysis that we, like, because we've all, you know, we grew up, obviously we got some pretty cool stuff pretty early on in our lives, but we grew up, you know, having to wait till a song came on the radio to hear it. Like, yeah, yep. for you guys, for more than me probably, but there's definitely a certain, like, you don't really have a choice in the art you consume in a lot of ways until you, like, you know, get money in a car. So I wonder if these kids who can find anything all the time, I wonder if they don't care about that, if they just are like, all right, searching whatever they want, or if they do sort of want the randomness, the
randomizer,
curated programming.
Yeah, I don't, it'll be interesting to see what his, because now the way that he approaches, he like loves TV, and he loves TV so much that we have to like really limit how much TV he watches. And it's been tough. Like before COVID, he'd maybe watch like, he'd probably watch an average of 20 minutes of TV a day, if that, because we let him like watch one episode of Daniel Tiger or Mickey Mouse Clubhouse or whatever, you know, semi-educational show or whatever. And now, like, once COVID hit, there's a lot more like, oh, my wife and I are both working, so we need, you know, and the baby's asleep, so it's like, we both have to do some work, and we both have calls, so, like, let's let him watch most of a movie for the next 80 minutes or whatever.
I mean, what the fuck are you supposed to do
now? Yeah, it's hard. And so there's been a lot more TV, and we've kind of leveled off on some of that a little bit. But, yeah, he more will say, like I'll, because that's the other thing. Stuff's on different streaming services now, so, like, he's like, you know, he likes Stinky and Dirty, which is a show that's on Amazon that's about like a fire truck and a garbage truck. And so he he'll like, that's a cute show, but that's an Amazon Prime show. So if he wants that, like, I have to go to a different service on my Fire Stick to get that versus if he wants to watch Little Einsteins, which is a Disney plus, like a Disney Plus thing, or if he wants to watch Charlie's Colorform City, which is a Netflix show.
So, dude, I have a follow-up question for this topic specifically. Did you and your wife end up buying him the police car that he was asking for?
I said on the episode we have it. We just never gave it to him.
No, so I was just wondering if you ever gave it to him.
No, we never gave it to him. So the background for this rock was, I think maybe I mentioned that on the episode.
I just put together why that question got asked, and it's very funny now.
Wait, what did you
I forgot for a second that they were a terrible entity.
No, police. Yeah, no, he never got that police car. We still have it. It's still in the box. I don't know, maybe we'll donate it. I don't even know if that's,
you should give it to him with with paint pens.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
And let then just have him like
go for it.
You just could teach him about fire safety,
graffiti all over this cop car, and not think about it.
You could teach him about fire safety with it.
Yeah, it's true. We can do lots of stuff, but yeah, we got to do something with it. So yeah, he we're all this to say, to answer your question, Rocco, like, he'll often just be like, I want to watch Little Einsteins. So he'll just say like what show he wants to watch, and then I have to go to the right service and put it on. He doesn't usually like to like flip through stuff. And whenever, like, sometimes on like a Friday night, we'll watch like a family movie or whatever. Mostly that's on Disney Plus. And like, even then, it's when we like flip around on like what's available, it's, he's like, I want to watch that. No, that. No. Like, he doesn't, I don't know if it's the choice paralysis or if it's like he can't read. He doesn't know what anything is. Maybe that's part of it. But yeah, I don't know. He might be more decisive than, like, with music, he's much more decisive. Like, he'll just be like, we listen to songs before he goes to bed, and we'll listen to like two songs together. And I'll be like, I want to listen to Octopus's Garden. And he'll put on Octopus's Garden by the Beatles. And I'll be like, I want to listen to Walking in Memphis. And he'll put that on by Mark Cohen. So like, he'll pick out like a specific song that he wants to listen to. Whereas he doesn't like often ask me to list off some songs that he likes. So I don't know. I guess maybe the way he consumes media is going to be completely different in that respect.
It's cool that Octopus's Garden is still like the kid song.
That song fucking rules. And that's a Ringo song, too. So I didn't know this.
Yeah.
But, like, Ringo wrote that whole song. So he sings it, obviously. But I didn't know that was, like, a Ringo written and like, a song that he wrote completely. But yeah, that song is awesome. Like, in my elementary school, we had to sing that song in, like, music class, which also probably makes me sound like a million years old because probably there's not a lot of public schools that have music class anymore, I would guess. But, yeah, we'd sing that song in music class when I was probably, like, in third or fourth grade. And, yeah, that song's awesome. That's a dope as hell song. And
funny that Ringo is, like, just constantly getting made fun of by the other members of the band. If he would have been in, like, any other band, he would have been a straight-up front man. Like,
and that's the thing that's funny is, like, I remember growing up and being like, oh, he was the ugly Beatle, blah, 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 and, like, having that in my head. Yeah. And I was watching that documentary with Ron Howard, and I was looking at Ringo, and I'm like, oh, Ringo's, like, I mean, truly, he's kind of an attractive dude, like a younger dude.
They were,
like,
all handsome guys. Everybody,
I know.
Was
I was like,
them.
I don't
it's
know.
So
I don't
funny.
Know why he got any of this shit. And he's like funny too. Like they were showing like interviews of them all. Like one of the things, I mean, they're all pretty funny or they're all pretty clever and able to answer stupid questions efficiently and everything. And I don't know. It's weird that he got all this shit, especially since like, I think that the like revisionist history on him being a bad drummer in quotes is like a thing that happened from like baby boomers or kids in the like people who were teens in the like mid 70s who were like, oh, he doesn't play the drums like John Bonham. Ergo, he sucked at playing the drums. And it's like, okay,
most people don't play the drums like John Bonham, though.
Right.
Like,
but like, there's like, you know, there's
right,
like a
yeah,
constant
like the best rock drummer ever.
Right. Like there, but like rock drumming in the 70s and the mid 70s, like was all about excess and like, it's completely different. Like you're
hitting
playing
it hard
with a different
yeah.
palette. Yeah. Like Keith Moon and Bonham and like you get into Rush and all that shit. Like all that stuff that came after. It's like a completely different style of drumming than.
There's
like,
no way he's a worse drummer than Lars Ulrich anyway, so we're good.
I think Lars is cool. I think, we could get into that too.
Well,
I'm a huge Lars apologist.
Oh wow! Well, let's talk about that on Twitter sometime.
we can talk about Injustice for All on Twitter at some point.
Yeah, that's a. I mean, Cy for whatever reason likes to shit on Lars. I think that Lars was right, certainly about music piracy. I think that the way he delivered that message was maybe not the the most efficient.
He just can't get through a sentence without pumping himself up. That's what bothers me the most about him. He like has to pump his own tires all the time. He gave a speech at a conference that I went to, and I just couldn't take it seriously. And I didn't really like him before that, but then hearing him talk like in person, I was like, oh, maybe he's not as bad as when he's in interviews. No, he's worse, like when he's in front of a larger group of people.
He has the best quote ever, though. I can't remember the exact quote, but I'm going to get this at least 80% right. But somebody asked him, like, if
that's okay. Lars only gets 80% of his drum parts right when he plays live.
Somebody asked him if he was like one of the best metal drummers, and he said, "I'm not one of the best metal drummers, but I'm the best drummer in Metallica." Something like that, which
true.
Is such a cool, such yeah. an awesome, like.
It's like a Yogi Berra quote.
It kind of is, because it's like you guys all like Metallica, right? I'm the drummer in that band. maybe I'm not as good as like these 10 guys or whatever, but like I'm the drummer in one of the best metal bands. Like even if you don't like Metallica, you're still like, okay, they're pretty good.
Yeah, I think too. Like size being needlessly harsh on Lars.
No, they kicked out the wrong member. They should have kicked out Lars instead of Dave Mustaine. They would have been a better band.
Yeah, definitely. If Dave Mustaine was in the band, they would have been a better band. Probably they all would have been dead.
Would they have been a better band with him as the front man?
No. Dave Mustaine was still in the band, like Dave Mustaine was on a fast track to death.
They saved his life.
Him getting kicked out
plus,
of the band.
Plus, now we get two good bands.
Yeah, that's true. You had Megadeth, and you also had Metallica. So I guess that, you know, it's times two, and it's great. but yeah, I think that basically I'm a firm believer. There's a long standing like saying that basically bands go as their drummers go. So if a band, like a lot of bands that are like one piece away from success, when they get a new drummer, it's like, oh, everything clicked into place. Like that's what happened to the Red Hot Chili Peppers when they had Chad Smith join the band. Like all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, he joined, I think, on Mother's Milk, and that was like their huge breakthrough record after I think three records and an EP before they really broke through big time. And that's happened with a lot of bands where it's like, yeah, you get the right drummer and everything. I mean, it happened with the Beatles, you get the right drummer and everything kind of falls into place. And I don't know. I mean, I can see that. I think that's a real thing.
Metallica did fine, despite my opinion of Lars. It's true. Your larger point, Rocco, is absolutely true. I just don't like Lars. It's fine.
That's, you don't have to like him. I mean,
it doesn't. It doesn't, and it doesn't stop me from listening to all those '80s Metallica records on a regular basis.
They're
I still do.
Good. They're so
They're great records. I'm not going to invite Lars Ulrich on the pod, and I'm not going to, make him come on the podcast and call you a little niche baby, and I'm not going to make him tell you that you will do what he says when he says back to the front. I'm not going to make him do any of those.
He doesn't say that.
Well, he would
James
say that
does.
To you.
No, James says that.
But Lars would say that to you because he's in charge of you.
Yeah, this isn't a reference. This is just what he would say
to
you.
Yeah, just saying what Lars would say to you. Like, it's pretty obvious that that's what he would say. Mm-hmm. You know,
do you think
he would say...
forgot that I... said that that song was in Happy Gilmore.
They would have forgotten about it if you hadn't brought it up.
So, I'm never ever gonna forget about it, so that's good.
Other Happy Gilmore things that are of note, I think one of my favorite sequence probably is the, I like when he's trying to go to his happy place and everything gets all fucked up, and I think that sequence always made me really laugh.
Sounds like my
he
happy
starts
place
whacking the grass and he keeps
I love
noise.
That I think fuck. That's I think it's a lot of fun. I just think the recurring Chubbs thing with his fucking fucked up hand is great. Like, that was the thing where as a kid I was like, I can't believe this is in a movie. It's
the
just
Bob
so
Barker,
fun, like,
the Bob Barker fight scene.
Yeah, the Bob Barker thing's great.
I also, the one thing that I never will forget is this teacher that I had in high school. I had him a bunch. I still actually kind of keep in touch with him because he has like amazing taste in music, like knows everything about punk music, sends me like random stuff every once in a while. It's very cool. But he hated that movie, and somebody told him that it was my favorite movie, and he was like so disappointed because we would talk about like Kubrick and Godard and stuff, and then he like was so upset when he found out that that was my favorite movie. And then he like looked at me and he was like, yeah, the part where they hit the ball and it goes shoo. He's like, that's the only joke in the movie. He's like, that's the good part. And I was like, and like that part never, like that for some reason, I don't know, because it's like when you're a kid that those like absurdist jokes sometimes don't really land. It's just like part of the movie.
Yeah.
And now that part is so funny to me. Like whenever he hits the ball, it like goes into ball vision. And it's like, it's like flying through
did
the
you,
air.
Did you tell him that he changed the movie for you forever?
No,
you should tell him that soon. You should tell him that you still has an effect on you.
Rocco's like, I'm not going to bring this up to him when he's telling me about Gang of Four. I'm not going to be like, ball vision.
We literally have emailed about Gang of Four.
Yeah, of course. That makes sense.
That's so, entertainment.
Bob Barker was 73 years old when that, or 72 probably, when that movie was filmed. So he, like, it's so, I mean, I was a big Price is Right fan as a kid. That was my daytime game show that I loved watching, 11 a.m. Eastern time.
When you skip school?
Whenever I was homesick or it was a summer or whatever.
When you were skipping CCD?
Or when I was skipping CCD, that was in the afternoon.
Mustn't skip that.
Well, yeah, I as I've told on this show before, I dropped out of CCD without telling my parents when I was in, I think, third or fourth grade. And they didn't know that I had stopped going because it was like immediately after public school. So I would like go over to the Catholic school right across the street and do CCD for an hour and then go home. I was a latchkey kid, so they didn't get home until like 3 hours after that anyway. And they didn't know that I had dropped out until I was like in 11th grade. And they're like, oh, you're going to be making your confirmation soon. And I was like, yeah, definitely.
Oh no. Yeah. Oh, let me just do all my my 50 hours of fucking charitable works.
I was like, yeah, definitely. I'm going to go on a retreat this weekend. ignore the tent on the side of the house.
But that's where I'm making my confirmation. You guys can't come. It's a secret confirmation retreat.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, truly. So Bob Barker, 72 years old when that movie was made. Great acting, great turn, very funny. Just plays it so funny and plays it great. And and it's awesome. I mean, also think like it's the way the fight goes. And as a kid, I was always like, Happy Gilmore would beat the crap out of that old man. But that's why it's so funny. It's like the turn at the end when Bob Barker basically beats the shit out of him.
Yeah,
it's so good.
That part is amazing. And also, that part is better on TV because instead of saying the price is wrong, bitch, he says, the price is wrong, Bobby. It's way funnier.
I can't wait until, you know how they remake everything now? Yeah. I can't wait until they make that remake that movie in 10 years and it's Drew Carey instead of Bob Barker fighting.
Would, you know what, though? That would be funny.
And he's going to be fighting Pete Davidson or whoever.
No, no, no. He won't be Pete Davidson. No, no, no. It's got to be someone who's like new to SNL in the next 5 years. But yeah, so Drew Carey is... Drew Carey is currently 62 years old, so basically in 10 years if they remake this movie, Drew Carey will be the same age that Bob Barker was.
Perfect.
Which is crazy to think about. I guess that's how time moves, but I don't think of Drew Carey as being a 62-year-old man. I guess he just is.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it makes sense, though. I mean, that Drew Carey show was a show that I liked when I was a kid, and that was on when I was 11, 10, 12.
I liked that show, too.
Yeah, it was a fun show, so that makes sense.
Wasn't news radio also on around that time?
Yes. Yeah, they were they were contemporaneous. Yeah, Drew Carey show started in 1995, so I was 10 when that came on. That makes sense. And, yeah, it was a fun show. I watched the first few seasons of that and really enjoyed it, and there's a lot of good stuff in that show.
Namely, the theme song.
What'd you say?
The theme song of the Drew Carey show is one of the Cleveland best Rocks? Ever, in my opinion.
Which one? Moon Over Parma?
Presidents of the United States of America, right?
So
the original song was different.
They famously had three different theme songs on the Drew Carey show.
For
the
real?
Original one was Moon Over Parma, which I can sing by heart, even though I could sing it by heart, even though I haven't seen that show since I was 10 years old. And that was only for the first two seasons.
All I knew about was Cleveland Rocks.
Yeah, and then after season three, they switched over to the song 5 o'clock.
Five o'clock.
Wait, what did you say before, Rocco? 5 o'clock?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
They switched to the song 5 o'clock World by the Vogues. It's a 5 o'clock world when the whistle blows.
5 o'clock.
And then it was Cleveland Rocks by Presidents of the United States of America in 1997. So, yeah, they really they switched up quite a bit, the theme song on that show. And that show ran for 9 years and had 233 episodes, which, like, I can't even imagine.
I never watched it, but I paid for that song on iTunes.
I mean, as you should have. The Cleveland Rock song, great.
You're
a Michigan guy, right, Rocco?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What are your thoughts on Traverse City?
I've only been once. That was basically where we got married. So
it
was
nice.
A very good time. So I had a good time, but I do know that it's a weird place.
Well, there's lots of cherries there. Cherry capital of the world.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And are you a Kilwins guy?
Wait, is that whiskey?
Kilwins is I believe an ice cream and fudge shop.
Oh yeah. Okay, yeah. There was one of those actually in the city that I work in, but it was too expensive. So no, I'm not.
Okay, fair enough.
It's too expensive.
Other stuff I should ask you about. Are you a Detroit basketball fan?
Yes. Okay. Pretty recently, though, in the last like few years, when they won, not the Bad Boys, I wasn't alive, but when they won in like 2004, I watched that like very casually.
Okay. Are you a Detroit Lions fan?
Big, huge.
Okay. Great. Do you go to the Thanksgiving game?
I've been a few times. I had a buddy who had like a connection, and we went a few times, but that's kind of a good game for, like, if you know somebody with season tickets, they usually don't want to go to that game.
Mm.
So that's usually a good game for, like, you just give your buddy $50 or something if you want to go. But I usually don't want to go to the Thanksgiving game. That's, like, the best TV game because you're, like, eating good food and shit. That's, like, the best TV game in any sport.
Mm. Are you a Matt Stafford defender, apologist?
Huge.
Which
nicest
one?
Get along guy in the world.
Okay, defender, apologist, lover,
such
supporter?
A lover of him. The only only football jersey I have.
Okay, wow.
We've had another
yeah, we had Walker Kelly, who's also a Matt Stafford apologist, defender.
Good.
So we so far have 100% Matt Stafford defender, apologist,
lover. He's the fucking
lover.
Man. He's a great QB. He's awesome. Okay.
Well, I firmly believe that that team, you know, as much as they've been basically a 500 team for the last half decade or whatever, I think that without him, they'd be like a 3 or 4 win team every season.
I genuinely think that, like, every season there's like there are like 5 teams in the NFL that if he was on that team, he would have like a legitimate shot at winning the Super Bowl, and we are not one of them ever.
Yeah, that like, makes sense. And I believe that. I mean, there's so many teams that need a quarterback. I can't imagine that he's – it's hard. I guess that's the thing that's tough about the NFL is like judging things in context, especially like positional talent, is difficult because you're – every play – well – I don't know. I just think that there are certainly teams that he would improve the quarterback position for. And it's unfortunate that he's will never probably get to judge him free of the Lions. I suspect he's going to just retire a Lion in the next 5 years.
I don't ever see him being on another team, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think anyone's going to pay him either. So
that's true.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess let's probably wrap this up. Sai, do you have any games you want to play today?
So I was thinking of a game, and I'm working on it, workshopping it, but it's not ready yet, so no.
It's called bowling.
It's called bowling. He was thinking of it.
I want to bowl for soup.
Okay, great. Great. Well, we're going to wrap this one up, so let's just do plugs real quick. So, Rocco, we'll start with you. Do you have anything to plug this week?
Yeah, Sai's game. He's worked really hard on it. I'm actually really looking forward to see where it goes. It sounds like a whole lot of fun. I'll tell you
when it's going to be on. It'll be ready by next week.
Will it be ready when I come back and talk about Chattanooga Choo Choo?
It'll be ready before that, but I can wait. I can wait for Chattanooga Choo Choo then.
Well, I would like it to be perfected by then.
No, we can't play it more than once.
Oh, shit. Is it Russian roulette?
Yeah.
Okay, can we play that right now?
Have you ever heard of a little game called Jumanji? I really got to get going, guys.
Yeah. Is that all the game where your dad comes back as a weird hunter with a stalker cap?
Yeah, the Rock's in it now, but it used to be Robin Williams.
Okay. All right. So Chattanooga Choo Choo, you'll come back and do that. Rocco wrote a book, I'll do this plug for you, called How to Write a Book and Make at Least $600.
Yes, now officially only available on Amazon. I gave my last copy is gone.
Well, it's a very good book. It's very fun. You can read it in one sitting, as I did. And it's a lot of fun. Rocco, good writer. Check out his other stuff. He'll be around. You're at $600 on Twitter.
Yeah. Oh, and I guess listen to Social Climbers. I actually probably should plug that. My friend does Social a lot Climbers, of work of on that.
Yeah, and, Social Climbers. Listen to that too. Yes.
Yeah, Social Climbers. Kind of a great, funny show. Yeah, sure.
Sai, you have anything to plug this week?
Yeah. I've been asking the last couple of weeks for folks to give me suggestions on charities that are selling Black Lives Matter gear. And I came across something on Etsy recently where I was clicking on shop owners and looking at the stuff that they sell, and realized that a lot of shop owners also sell like a lot of Trump stuff, and it's all to make a quick buck. So make sure if you're buying stuff on Etsy that you click on the shop and make sure you look at who you're sending your money to.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a thing. I don't want to do that. So good. That's good. Thanks, Sai. And of course, you can listen to the show. Follow us on Twitter. We're at Rounding Down. I'm at Chidspin. Sai is at Sai Fieri. The show, rate and review us on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. Write a review. People haven't been writing a lot of new reviews there, so please leave those there. We have a lot of good episodes coming up. This is our last episode before a break, so we're going to have a quick break, but not a break in new episodes being released, just a break.
Yeah, you guys won't notice the break.
So there'll be a time jump where Sai will be a married man, if all goes according to plan, when we resume the show.
She doesn't change her mind. I have a week for her to not change her mind, so listen, we'll figure it out.
And Sai's guy's a real fuck up, so we might fuck it up in the next week. You don't know what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm just kidding. He'll be fine. So Sai will be a married man and will be happy and in a different spot, and probably COVID will be gone, and also baseball will be gone again when you resume in 3 weeks.
Baseball will probably be gone.
Yeah, probably that'll be gone. So for Rocco, for Sai, for myself, for Happy Gilmore, go buy the movie Happy Gilmore. Buy it on VHS if you want. Find that Adam Sandler hat, the Bruins hat, and send it to Rocco.
I already DM'd it to Rocco. Don't worry.
Oh, great. And also, listen to or watch the movie Chattanooga Choo Choo, because apparently we're going to do a watch along on that in the future. Listen to the band The Honorary Title, I guess. I don't know.
Don't do that.
And if you're in any of the states where Kilwin's Fudge Shop and Ice Cream Shop is, they have great ice cream. I recommend you go there, but bring $100 bill with you because it's really expensive. So, as always, fuck you, Sealer. Rounding Down is produced by Chid. Music by Corey Major. Artwork by Cy Fieri.
This was a Buzzcast Network production. Bow, bow, bow.